text in John chapter 6, starting at verse 1, it says this. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. I like what Mark Batterson said. I think it was actually in the introduction video that we watched for a few weeks. And he basically said Jesus' math is 5 plus 2 equals 5,000, remainder 12. I actually thought about getting a t-shirt made from my other company this week that said that on that. But then I realized it was communion and I had to put a suit on. So I didn't figure the t-shirt would go well with the suit. But Jesus' math here is pretty amazing when we think of it, because here the scripture tells us we have 5,000 or approximately 5,000 men. That doesn't include women, doesn't include children. I read many commentaries this week and they had numbers of people anywhere from about 8,000 up to 20,000. And so we're not talking only here about 5,000 people fed. We're actually talking about many, many more. So just kind of keep that. That's a side note. That doesn't have anything to do with my message, but just for information's sake. But here we have Jesus doing another miracle. This one is not a miracle of healing, but the sign we see here, this sign shows us that Jesus is greater than our physical needs. The healing show the same thing. This shows it from a different angle, however, that Jesus will meet your needs physically. And he's greater than our needs physically. And that's what we want to look at for just a little bit today. But remember, that is the sign. Jesus is greater than yours and my physical needs. He is our provider. And I want to note a few things. And realistically today, this probably is 2 sermons that I'm smashing into one. Because the first point really doesn't go along with the second, third, and fourth point. But I think it's crucial for us to understand some things here. So if we look at verse 2 in the text, it says this, a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went. Why? Because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. As I read that, I began to think about it. And I started to come to this conclusion. I've known this conclusion for years. But I think it's something we all need to be reminded of, is that if you want to draw people to Jesus, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Let me say that again. If you want to draw people to Jesus, allow the Holy Spirit to flow or move through you. Because guess what, folks? Not you or I or Pastor Dan or any of the big name evangelists we want to talk about can draw anyone to Jesus on their own. The crowds followed Jesus because of the miracles. They came looking for Jesus because he was doing miraculous things. They were seeing signs. We want people to see Jesus. At least I hope we do. So guess what? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to do the same signs, to do miracles. You're not so sure on that. Pastor, I can't do miracles. No, none of you can do miracles. The Holy Spirit moving through you can do miracles. Allow the Holy Spirit to move through you and people will see Jesus. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. To do what? To be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus didn't leave us the Holy Spirit to live in us just for our benefit. Yes, the Holy Spirit living in us does benefit us. He's our peace. He's our comforter. But he left the Holy Spirit to live in us to empower us. To empower us to do what? Well, to do what he did. John chapter 14 verse 12 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater work because I am going to be with the Father. Now understand this. No one received the Holy Spirit until Jesus went to be with the Father. But he left his Holy Spirit to empower us to do what? To do what he did. And my Bible says, and even greater. And I've thought about this for years. I've used this text for years when talking to people. What do you mean by how can we do greater? Well, we can do greater because there's more of us. Jesus was one man. Yes, he was God. I could get into a whole scriptural teaching here on how he had left his power behind us and had to rely on the Holy Spirit the exact same way we do. But I'm not going to get off into that today, or we'll be here till 3 p.m. But he empowers us by his Holy Spirit to do what he did. And there's approximately a billion of us on the earth, depending on the numbers you believe. Billion, billion and a half. Well, that means there's a billion people carrying the Spirit of God in them to do the works Christ did. That's how we can do even greater. And I know some of you say, well, Pastor, I really can't do the things Jesus did. I'm not worthy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because guess what? You can't. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, God himself lives in us. So we're not doing the work. It's not based on us and how good I am. It's on based on who he is, and he lives in us. We sang that song, the last song we did today, Broken Vessels, and I had to look it up on my phone and write down verse 2 because I didn't get a pen out quick enough when it was on the screen. But that verse sums it up. It says, you take our failure. You take our weakness. You set your treasure in jars of clay. Who's the jars of clay? We are. So take this heart, Lord. I'll be your vessel. The world to see your life in me. That is what happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us. He dwells in us. He lives in us and empowers us to reveal Jesus. And we do it in the same way Jesus did. Jesus did signs, did miracles. People were healed. And yet, I often think we sit back and say, I can't do that. That can't happen through me. Again, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You can do all things. Through who? Through Christ who strengthens you and me. How often do we, not even talking as individuals, do we come to church not expecting Christ to do anything? Because we think we're all unworthy. And yes, we are all unworthy. But in God's eyes, we are worthy because of what? Because of the blood of Christ. We're going to celebrate that later as we go through this service. We're all worthy, and we're seen as worthy in God's eyes. We're seen as perfect in God's eyes, no matter how imperfect we might feel ourselves to be. I don't know about you. I look in the mirror, and I don't see a perfect person. I think about my life. I don't think about a perfect person. What do we tend to do? We see all our faults. What does God see? He sees the blood of his Son paid the price to make us perfect. And therefore, he empowers us because he allows his Spirit to live in us. So we need to go, when we go out those doors, we need to go expecting God to use us. We need to go expecting God to do miracles through us. We need to come here expecting God to do miracles. I go back to a long time ago when I was first in ministry, and Pastor Dan, you want to corroborate this story, you can ask him later, or you can ask Charlene later. But we had a group of young people. We had a good youth group. I don't know, we'd been there maybe half a year-ish. But our youth group, About 10 of them went to Toronto Airport Church. One of our young people had been off on a missions trip doing a drama thing, and their drama was participating at Toronto Airport Church. Pastor Dan and about 10 of the kids, or 10 or 12 of them, went to the service. And this was during the revival happening at Toronto Airport. I didn't get to go because I actually was preaching that night at our church. But those dozen or so kids who went to the church saw what God was doing and said, why can he not do that in our church? And they got together and they started to pray. And they came expecting God to do the same thing in our church. And that Wednesday night, we had a breakthrough and we had a revival start that lasted a good few years. Why? Because people expected. And when we started to expect, we started to allow God to move. Young people were getting saved before a message was even preached. Worship would start and they'd look at their friends and say, how do I find this Jesus? Allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move through you. That's sermon number one. Let's look at the rest of the verse. If you scan down to verse 5, it says this. So Jesus is now gone to get away from the crowds with his disciples. But soon after, Jesus soon saw, it says here in verse 5, a huge crowd of people coming to look at him. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. As I read that, I went, that's interesting. He's testing Philip. But see, what I feel like God spoke to me is, Jesus is not surprised by your needs. Jesus wasn't surprised that these crowds were going to come. He knew. He might have known just even in not even talking in the spiritual realm of things. These people tended to find where he was and follow him. But Jesus knew what was going to happen. Before he ever asked Philip the question, Jesus knew what he was going to do, is what scripture tells us. You see, Jesus isn't surprised by your needs. They don't shock him. They don't surprise him. Oh my, I didn't expect that. Jesus isn't up there sitting at the right hand of the Father going, oh, I didn't expect that to happen in Paul's life. He knew. He knows. He knows every one of you intimately. He knows your needs. Psalm 56:8 says this, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Psalm 139, starting at verse 1, says this, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hands of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Jesus knows you intimately. Nothing that comes up in your life, no need, no circumstance, no sickness comes up in your life that surprises him. Nothing comes up, nothing you do shocks him because he knows you. He knows you. Scripture says he has the very number of our hairs on our head numbered. I don't know how many hairs I have on my head. A few more than some of you, a few less than others. But God knows. The Father knows how many hairs we have. There's nothing that's going to come up that's going to surprise him. I know I've had to be reminded of this over the last few weeks as I've dealt with some issues with my mother being ill. So I've dealt with some other family issues. And I say, God, what are you doing? And all I get is, oh, I knew. Oh, I know. Trust me. All things work together for good for those who love me and live according to my purposes. But in the midst of it, sometimes we forget and we think God is surprised. Oh, I shocked God. Sometimes we think when we sin, when we mess up, we shock God. No, we don't. And he has an answer. He asked Philip a question already knowing the answer because we can't surprise him. So we move on. Philip replies, even if we worked for months, We wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Now, you've probably heard this before. A barley loaf, we're not talking about a loaf of bread like this or one of those extra long American loaves of bread that are kind of huge. We're talking basically a roll, maybe the size of a Kaiser bun if we're lucky. And the 2 fish were probably about the size of sardines. So there wasn't much food there. And you would think, wow, Jesus would say, well, I guess we have to send everybody home. But that's not what happened. What did Jesus do? Sit on the hill and we're going to feed them. You see, not only is Jesus not surprised by your need, he's not challenged by your need. He's not challenged by it. Jesus isn't sitting there thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? We've got 5 buns and 2 sardines. What am I going to do? No, it's no challenge. It's literally no challenge when you understand that Jesus created the universe. He created the barley fields where the barley was grown to make those loaves. He created the sea or the lake, whichever the fish came out of, that this young boy has. Jesus isn't challenged even. Jesus is probably sitting there thinking, this is a piece of cake. I've got this. This is simple. I have all power because God has given it to me. Sometimes we think, oh, my need is way too great. God just can't do it. What's worse is when we think our need is too great and then we try to get involved and fix it ourselves. Oh, God can't do it, but I'll get it fixed. Anybody ever been there besides me? I'm pretty sure we've all been there. Oh, Jesus, here, I really can't give this need to you because it's just so, so difficult. And then we go about our business trying to fix what we can't give to Jesus. And it's a challenge for us, but it's not a challenge for him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus then went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, some of you might be a little bit of a, well, why did Jesus need to be anointed? He was God. Well, Jesus humbled himself when he came to earth and became a man and had to rely on the Father and the Holy Spirit in order to do anything. But what did God do? He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what kind of power? Well, if you flip over to Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus had all authority and again has all authority now that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He can do anything that he desires to do. So why do we often think, well, it's too much for God. It's too much of a challenge. Nothing you or I will go through is too much of a challenge for Jesus. Financial hardships, not a challenge for him. It's a challenge for us. Disease is not a challenge for him. He can heal us. Moving a mountain, whatever that be, whether it be a physical mountain or a perceived mountain in our lives, not too hard for him, not too much of a challenge. Therefore, not too much of a challenge for us if we let him do his work. But often we see it and we say, well, that's too tough. I can't ask God for that. Really? If it's too tough, you better ask God to help. We all have seen the TV shows where the little kid gets down on his knees or on the bed, mom or dad's dying, whatever, you know, or his dog's dying or some sad event is happening. And the little child, what does he do? He gets down on his knees or sits on the side of the bed, promises God everything just for everything to be all right. And because this is TV land, it all works out. But I sit there and I say, why are we not like that as believers? God, I'm not saying you need to promise God everything. That's not, that part of it is not, God doesn't make deals with you. But God is able, so why don't we just take that childlike faith that you see in these TV shows and just ask him. I don't know, do you enjoy having your problems? I don't. Do you enjoy when a loved one of yours is sick, possibly dying? Do you enjoy that? I don't. Those things aren't a challenge for our Jesus. And then if we skip down to verse 11 in our text, it says this, then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. And here's the, doesn't say they all had a nibble. Is that what your Bible says? They all had a little nibble. No, my Bible says, and they all ate as much as they wanted. Sometimes I think I need to start praying multiplication over my groceries once I get them out of the store, as I have a couple of boys who like to eat. And I like to eat, you can all tell that. But they all had as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers. Think about this. 5 little buns, 2 fish. Let's say conservatively 10,000 people. And there's leftovers. After they're all full, gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. 12 baskets. I'm not sure how big the baskets were, but to have 12 crumbs left over would be miraculous with everybody eating. And they had 12 baskets full. You see, Jesus will meet your need and then some. I've heard it way too often, and it's kind of irks me. Well, Jesus met my need most of the way. No, Jesus will meet your need all the way and then some. He doesn't bless you a little bit. He blesses you out of his abundance. Now, sometimes we don't understand, and that's a part of it. Well, he blessed me a little bit. Well, no, sometimes he blessed you a lot more than you've even realized, because we can't get our own little puny brains around it. But Jesus didn't just feed the people so they had a little bit. He fed them till they were full and had 12 baskets left over. Think about that. 5 loaves and 2 fish doesn't fill one basket. Everybody ate. Everybody was full. And there was 12 baskets left. There's a miracle. There's abundance. Jesus doesn't want to do miracles in your lives just to get you by. He wants to bless you. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says this. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. He doesn't provide out of his little. He provides out of his riches. We are his children, his kids. I don't know, I'm a dad. My kids ask me for things. What do I want to do? I want to give it to them within reason. You know, my kids ask me for a gun to play with. I probably don't want to give them a gun. But my kids ask me for something. My heart as a dad is to give them and give them as much as I can. Now, I can't always do that because I don't have riches. I have my father's riches, but I don't have my own right now. But I still try to give them. And if my son asks me for 20 bucks, I try to give him 20 bucks or 30 if I can. You try to give out of your riches. Well, that's how God wants to give to us, out of his abundance. He doesn't want to just give us enough. He wants to bless you. Bless me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish, listen to this, infinitely more than we might ask or think. Why? He's all powerful. He wants to give us more than we can even, some versions use the word imagine. Anybody else got a big imagination here? Good. Imagination is good. I remember Barney telling me that when my daughter was young. Everybody know the purple dinosaur I'm talking about? But imagination is good, because God wants to give us infinitely more than we can ask for or think of. He wants to bless you with things you haven't even thought of in your own self. He doesn't want to heal you so that you don't need a walker anymore. He wants to heal you so you can go run and jump and dance. He wants to heal you and then some. He wants to provide for you and then some. My question today is, what are you believing for today? Are you believing for anything today? Do we really understand that our needs don't surprise Jesus? Do we really understand that our needs aren't even a challenge to him? Do we understand that he wants to bless us abundantly? Or do we sit here today thinking, oh no, it's too big? See, I think we often come not expecting because we see the problems through our eyes. We need to see what's going on in our lives through Christ's eyes. And he says, this is nothing. I knew. I know what you're going through. And guess what? I want to bless you. This isn't a challenge for me. Guess what, folks? Your needs, he is the answer. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you everything you need and then some. He's not that bad guy dad up in the sky saying, oh, I'm just going to hold back for a while. Now, yes, sometimes his timing is different than ours. I don't know about you. I hate when his timing and mine are different. The problem is normally me, not him, because I want everything yesterday. Maybe that's why Pastor Dan and I get along so well, because you've used the same. I want everything done yesterday. Sometimes it's a learning experience we're going through. Sometimes we're Philip and we're being tested. Doesn't mean God still doesn't know what he's going to do. So today, as we celebrate communion together, we celebrate this. This is the reason we have the ability to see miracles today, because Jesus shed his blood, set a new relationship with us. His body was broken, what does scripture tell us? For our healing. But as we take part in communion today, let's begin to expect God to do things as we are called. If you have a need today, don't just sit in your seat and say, oh, God doesn't know, God doesn't care. He knows, he cares, he's able. We need to expect.